You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? Gracious God, you magnificently made us and all creation. But when we fell, you even more magnificently saved and recreated us. Bless us now as we are fed by your word and reflect upon it, that fortified in faith, we may run the race before us with endurance. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Elias, I'm going to take control of the sermon. Danke. Look, it's working. All right. So, a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a couple of months ago now, one of the youth who was relatively new to our youth group just kind of cornered me after youth group and said, well, you know, what do you have to do to be a Christian? So I have a question for you. How would you have answered them? This is the interactive part of the sermon. How would you answer that?
Baptism?
Yep, okay, we're going to get to that, right? Repent and be baptized, that's going to come up in Peter's sermon, yep. What else?
Rely on God.
I heard Jesus.
Believe.
Gold star right there, right? We're saved by grace through faith. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it is kind of a trick question. What do you have to do? Well, we do a lot as Christians, but we don't do it to get saved. We believe, and so we are, which means we trust, and so we are saved. It makes our faith unique. Every other faith, all faiths require some belief. All religions have some sort of required beliefs. But Christianity places its belief first, and then after that, what you do. Because what you do is to flow from what you believe. You don't walk the Eightfold Path and you'll figure it out as you go. You don't do X, Y, and Z and make these appointed sacrifices and read this book and say that prayer and then you believe. You don't just submit to the will of God. You learn about and trust the God who reveals himself. And then your doing flows from that. My spiritual director for many years had a congregation, get this, a congregation that was 80% converts. That's an amazing thing to be a pastor of. And they had a very active campus ministry on Penn State's campus. And he used to say, because he'd been asked that question so many times over the years by college students, he started to came up with a simple elevator speech where he said, Christianity is actually really simple. He said, believe the creeds. Now, you notice that when you say the creeds, we'll say the Nicene Creed in a little bit, whether you say the Nicene or the Apostles' Creed, the only time you show up in the creed is when you say, I believe, or we believe. There's no list of things for you to do there. It's all about who God is. So he said, it's very simple. You believe the creed, you live the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's simple. It's not easy. He was quick to say. There are only two dogmas, two things we have to believe as Christians. Two required beliefs. The first of these is that Jesus... Oops, I'm not getting any response from the remote control. There we are. All right. Jesus is truly God and truly man. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. And in the person of Christ, Yahweh quite literally came to earth to be with his people and save them. Here, and this is a very famous painting, a smaller version of it, of the Road to Emmaus story, which we heard during Easter. And Jesus is explaining to the two people walking on the road everything about himself. In the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. That's the Old Testament, what they simply called the Scriptures. He's saying, that's all about me. And I'm the primary author, by the way. So we believe who he is. And now today, in our gospel reading, we hear of his ascension unto the Father, which means to the position of authority and power. And as he goes, he says some very important things. First of all, we're told that they're worshiping him. If you have any doubt about whether this is Yahweh in the flesh, you're not allowed to worship anyone but Yahweh. There's a commandment about that. And as he goes, he says this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's why he's ascending to the Father. And then this passage we call the Great Commission, which most Christians, even if they don't commit a lot of scripture to memory, almost know this one word for word, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus has been speaking to the Father in prayer throughout the Gospels. He has talked about the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the one who is to come, the Comforter, who would help his disciples recall to mind everything he had taught them. But he's never spoken in this way before. One name. It's not the names of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. The name, singular. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, eternally. As the Jewish people had already come to realize. Now, I want to look a little bit at this. Why do we believe Jesus and say these words we start every worship service with, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. He alone, and of all humans in all history, has been raised from the dead, and so we trust that he got it right. I want to take a little closer look at this Great Commission, because I have a bit of a challenge today as a preacher. Michael knows this. It's hard to just keep it short because there's just so much to talk about. But we've got around the altar communion today, and the first reading was a whole chapter of a Bible. So we've got to get this done quickly. We'll look a little bit at this Great Commission. It initially looks like there are two commands: go and make. Make disciples, go and make disciples. But what's interesting is that in the original Greek, which has verb tenses just like English, only the word make is a command. Only the word make is in the imperative tense. The word go is a past participle, which means go is a hysterically bad way to translate this word. I'm not saying anything particularly insightful here, by the way. This is something they teach you in first year Greek at seminary. This is one of those things that, here's your clever trick you can pull out at parties. Go is a bad way to translate the word there. The word is better translated as you are going. Make disciples. The command is to make disciples, but you do it as you are moving. Now see, we live in a culture that worships credentials. We want experts, expert testimony in court. We want experts on the news telling us what to do with our health. We want experts everywhere. But Jesus isn't apparently interested in experts, because he doesn't say, go to school for a while and then when you've accomplished it really well, then get out and make disciples once you know what you're doing. See, we're to teach them to observe, and I love that they used observe in this translation, because that's what the Jews did. They didn't obey the law, they observed the law. Teaching those people you tell about me and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that you baptize, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And you're to do this not when you've mastered obeying those commands or observing those commands yourself. You're to do it right away as you are going. From this time forth. See, this is work for amateurs, folks. Discipleship is not work for qualified experts. It's work for amateurs. And I don't know if you've ever thought about what the word amateur means, because we tend to think of it as someone who's not good enough to be a professional. That's not what the word means. It comes from the Latin amo. If you know Spanish, it's like te amo, I love you. It's from the word love. An amateur is someone who does what they love, do for love of the thing itself. A professional is just someone who gets paid to do what they do. We do what we do for love of the thing itself. What God wants is Jesus lovers who are learning to observe all that he commanded. Maybe they're not there yet. In fact, we know they're not there yet because we're saved by grace through faith. But we're learning. And if you don't know this, it's basic pedagogic theory. The best teachers are people who are learning it as they go. You learn, you turn right around and teach it, you learn it better yourself. God wants Jesus lovers. Because to be a Jesus lover is to be a God lover, for he is God in the flesh. Two doctrines we are obligated to believe. Jesus is Yahweh in the flesh, and that God is eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Believe the creed. Love God. Live the Sermon on the Mount. Because he is with us always. To the end of the age. We don't do this on our own power. He walks with us. He encourages us. He turns us back again in repentance when we fail. And together we share Jesus with one another. Martin Luther said he was nothing more than a beggar trying to tell other beggars where to find bread. We're all together in this. All amateurs. All loving Jesus. All worshiping the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Gracious God, we set this one Sunday out a year to remember who you are and just make that crystal clear in our minds. Not because we're so clever, but because you have revealed it to us through your Son. This really is too clever for any of us to come up with. Lord, bless us with that amateurish love that in great enthusiasm seeks to be formed by your word, to observe what you have commanded because you command only what is good for us, and to show the kind of love you clearly showed us in your Son to others, a self-sacrificing love. This we ask in his name, for his glorious name is the glory also of the Father and the Spirit, even unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best start in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.